It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes, we're on live, right? As you can see, my co-host, Babatunde Ajayi, is not here. Hello to everyone who's jumped on. Very grateful. We've got loads of things to discuss today. Tunde's just got a little technical issue with his computer right now. So as soon as his thing sorts out, he'll be joining us and we'll be going ahead. Time is everything. How you doing? John Khan, Nigeria back on top. I guess you're talking about the UFC fight. Ryan, yeah, you know what? I was snacking a little piece. I had a mouthful of food. It was enough. I had a drink. And that was it. A couple of dates. And I thought, right, let me just come and do the show. Still waiting for Tunde. Don't worry about nothing. Tunde's coming. We'll find out what's going on. We've got loads to discuss. So it would be dream it, believe it, become it. We were looking forward to, and there's talk about Anthony Joshua. Well, not talk. He posted out saying that he will not be fighting. Anthony Joshua's put it out there saying that he will not be fighting until December. Now, loads of people thinking that maybe he broke his nose in that fight and he's gonna have to go take care of the nose. Sugar Ray 29, how you doing? John Khan, what's that? Spencer, salam, brother. I think he broke. Yeah, and that's what I believe as well. I believe that he did. I think he broke his nose in this fight, or in his last fight. I think he broke his nose, and that stopped him. Yep, Randy Savage has just turned around and said another year of inactivity, which I do not believe is a good thing for him at all. But where I'm going to take the plus from, the plus is this: maybe he's going to get longer time to bond with Derek James, who is a very, very good trainer. Sugar Ray 29, my condolences of hearing about your passing of your mum, yeah? I know what that feels like, my friend. I know what that feels like. So my heart goes out to you and your beautiful mother. May she rest in paradise. Yes. The J. Ross Ferry. What's up, Spence? Shout out from the USA. Thank you so much for the shout out. Yes, John Khan, Tunde's late. I don't want to go back on certain things, but do you remember like Tunde's behavior? Like if I had a computer problem or all this of it. But anyway, let's not dwell on that. Hopefully his thing just gets up and it'll be up and running soon, because I'd like to get into this debate. The eager thing, we had Shakur Stevenson yesterday come out with a very, very skillful win over the Japanese guy. I thought, yeah, he looked big at the weight as well. He looked very, very solid. Yes, Bobby Wright. I see you yesterday maxing and relaxing down at the DAZN show out in Vegas. Not in Vegas, sorry, out in America. I see you living some big life. What's that? Luke Kenny said, some people are saying that he's fighting in December due to Spencer versus Crawford fight. I don't think the Spence and Crawford fight would affect the figures of... Yeah, it would, if it is. Would affect the figures, but obviously then Derek James would have to commit his work with Terrence... Well, not Terrence Crawford, with Errol Spence, if that was the case. But that fight has still yet to have been finalized. We're hearing talks about that fight happening, but that fight is yet to be finalized. So I don't know. So there's going to be a lot of speculation. I sent a message out to Eddie Hearn, but I think he's on a plane, so he didn't reply back to me. I also sent a message out to Frank Smith. I spoke to Dylan White earlier today, and Dylan was like, you know what? Hey, well, we got our new guy who's working behind because Gary's not working the stuff today for us. So, Manny, when you see certain questions that are decent, just throw them up on the screen so I can read them out, all right? You know what I mean? That would be... You know what I mean? That'd be much appreciated. What's that? VP75, Eddie Hearn speaks to you. Yes, Eddie Hearn does speak to me. Last time our conversation, he was actually heading into the gym, so we couldn't continue our conversation. But yeah. I speak quite regularly. What Dylan said, well, Dylan waved. At the time there, Dylan didn't hear anything about Anthony Joshua saying that he's going to be fighting in December. What happened was, and this is madly coincidental, but at the time me and Tundi put out our posts on our Instagram stories about tonight's show, it was a picture of you guys who were on here. So it was a picture of AJ and Dylan White saying, like, is this fight going to be next? And then literally 5 minutes after, yes, to right.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to try and start the thing without me. Anyway,
let me
start the show the proper way. In the beautiful words of dream it, believe it, become it.
Come on up.
Yeah.
Now you're late, fam. Why are you late, brother? Why are you late? This is why I can't work with these people. These, I can't take this. Oh my gosh. Is there anyone who wants to come and take Tundi Ajayi's place? I can't take this thing. Your shiny teeth, brother. Listen, man. These things happen.
You know what it is? See, when a certain force wants to try and block you, you got to have two emails. It's like, I just say, all right, cool. You try to block Tunde at staminaforsale.com.
Who so tried to block you?
So I just had to use the other one. But I'm not even telling him the other one. So I've always got one.
All right, cool.
On backup.
Well, but we're here. At least you're here. But yes, exactly. We were just saying, because I meant to, and I'm glad that you've come to him, because I want to just have two bites of this food. I ate all day. But like, and maybe we say a massive happy birthday to Carmen Cook, the wife of James Cook MB, who also helps in the Stamina for Sale group. It was his wife's birthday yesterday. She had a fantastic birthday party. It was me and Tony were down there. The food was banging. The food was lit. To that, I ain't gonna lie. The food was lit. But what's his name? Dalton Grant was talking off your ear, so you couldn't get to eat the food. So I just kept on getting.
No. Big up, Carmen. Happy 65th birthday to you. The queen, the princess. Such a great turnout. And it was also good to see boxing royalty in the building.
It was beautiful, Tundi.
John Conte was there. Harold Graham was there. Bro, serious guys. Julius Francis was in the building.
Yeah, Jason Matthews, former WBO world middleweight champion. Yes. There were so many people in there. It was so nice. It was a wicked, not wicked, it was a beautiful turnout. It was a beautiful turnout for a beautiful person. And I can't believe, like, when they say like 60, 65, he's missing like 45. So, believe me. Yeah.
So it was a
Steve Bailey. That is Dalton Grant, the ex high jumper who won the Commonwealth Games gold medal in, what was it, 94? I think it was. But yeah. He was there. So it was like, it was cool. Bobby Wright's, you're not playing around. Dream it, believe it, become it. The dream team back for Sunday service. You better recognize. And as Sunday service goes on, I mean, Brother Knowledge is walking around with that collection ball.
Listen, I don't know what I've missed, Spence.
No, I was just longing it out because I knew he was going to come on soon. I was just longing it out. I just spoke about the situation between Anthony Joshua. Now, the talk is the reason why he's saying that he's not going to be fighting until December is because Spence and Crawford are very likely to happen.
Okay.
Right? And then Derek James would have to use his time to work with his fighter in Errol Spence. But then there's another thing, because you picked this up when we was there, sat at the fight. Massive big up to KD258 management for hooking us up with our tickets. And you said, like, his nose is bleeding. From in the change room, his nose was bleeding, right? So as his nose was bleeding from then, there's talk like his nose was broken prior.
Okay.
Like maybe in sparring, one of them Yankee man just punched him on the nose and broke his nose.
Well, sometimes some would say it's an occupational hazard.
But
I did notice the blood on his T-shirt before the fight. And I was like, hold on, what? The fight started already? So, yeah, it did raise a few eyebrows. But that would make sense. That definitely would make sense. Obviously, if his nose damage, I mean, again, it's not really something you really want at this stage of his career, because if you're having, you know, feelings of not committing fully, you know, having that mentally on your head as well can make things a little bit. I remember Prince Nazl, I think it was Brendan Ingle that told him, don't get his teeth done before his career's finished. And I think he said he got his teeth done. And from that point forward, he was always hesitant with punch. I might be wrong, but I do remember hearing a story like that. But suffice to say, what do you and everyone else think a period of, 8 months inactivity will do to Anthony's career? Will it enhance it? Would it actually be a better thing because he'd have more time to train and get used to his fight, his new trainer?
You know what, Tun? I believe that if his nose is broken, as you're saying, it's a occupational hazard.
Yes.
If it's broken, but the way it was bleeding in the change room, that looked like a broken nose to me because it was bleeding kind of profusely. So I'm saying if that is the case, then it will give him more time to bond with his trainer. But I think because Anthony Joshua, and we look at the numbers in comparison, just by his Instagram alone, Anthony Joshua could take a Billy Man and go and fight or also run fighter. You know what I mean? Just to have like a little sprint on him, just to practice out stuff and bang him out. He doesn't need a big name guy because the big name fights, even though people were saying like his performance the other day was lackluster if he was to marry it up to the past performances that we've seen with Anthony Joshua. But in all honesty, he had a lot of adversity. He had mental and physical adversity to overcome. And he overcome it. He got the win, right? Now, maybe he got the win in the fact of like many people sitting there thinking, well, we're just going to bang out this guy. He didn't get that win. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He got the win. And the show keeps on continuing. It's just like when people say, would you rather win and look bad or look good and lose?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he got the win and hopefully some of the mental cobwebs that are there because he hasn't won a fight in such a long time. Right? It's been 2 years, Tun. Right? That's a long time in having that feeling of, I've got a win and I'm coming back and everything else. He's got the win now. So now you got to move on. I was saying I would like to have seen the Dylan White fight next. Not like Dylan was talking, I'll have one fight in June and then I'll fight Joshua in late summer. Or no, brother. I'm gonna go and fight now. That's where my mind is. If that fight is gonna happen, let the fight happen right now. There's time for this waiting thing. Let the fight happen now. I'm gonna send Dylan. I'm gonna send Dylan the link anyway because we spoke earlier. And you said you'll jump on, but yeah, we'll see.
My namesake, Shuffleworker, he says, "You know what, guys? Why can't Dylan go fight Wilder?" Why can't Dylan go fight Wilder or Andy Ruiz? Why AJ that knocked you out a few years back? And you definitely are Nigerian. Just by that last bit. Why AJ that knocked you out a few years back? 100%. Well, listen, it's a valid question. It's like, why is everybody waiting for Anthony Joshua? I tell you why. Because the heavyweight division needs Anthony Oluwafemi Olasini Joshua. The heavyweight division needs him.
Turn.
And that's just the serious fact. And regardless of what anyone has to say, boxing would be pretty dead without the name dropping of Anthony Joshua. So I think, you know, why he still has his passion and still wants to achieve things, then, you know, everybody's should just humble themselves and just go on his time. That's how I see it. I do feel, these are top fighters. You know, the fact that he's announced that the fight is in December definitely allows him, broken nose or not, time to get back over to Texas and just keep trying to improve himself and his craft. And that's how I feel about it. And let the others, they're not injured. So why aren't they fighting each other? Let them fight. Let them fight. You know, as you said, it's better to win and look bad than lose and look good. So, and again, I have to question that. But I definitely understand what you're saying. So he's won. He's got the victory. And this, I think it's just, let's just wait and see. It was interesting that the Instagram post came out 5 minutes after.
Turn, I was saying the same thing.
We posted.
I was saying the same thing too.
Yeah, but it is where it is. Listen, we got to move on, Spence. What are you doing now? I know you're going to eat food, innit? Before we couldn't look, Spencer's gone somewhere. I don't know where he's gone. But are you still there? All right.
I'm here.
Before we let's just move off of boxing and just quickly talk about our Nigerian brother last night, Israel Adesanya. Clap out. He got a right knee to the belly and a left hook. And Israel just came back with a counter right and then another boom and then a chop. Chop like he was chopping food. And fight done. Dance done. Reclaimed the middleweight UFC championship. And no one can't tell him nothing. And I was very, very inspired and impressed with his post-fight speech, where he said that, you know, I wish everybody can feel this joy just once in their life. But guess what? If you don't battle, if you don't get up and try, you ain't gonna achieve that. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful evening for Israel. And congratulations to him. I'm not really a UFC man, but yeah, Izzy was, Leah, she said it. Izzy was phenomenal. This guy has beat him on 3 occasions, and yet he came in without fear and ready to train. And that's a fighter. That's a fighter. I keep telling people, it's not losing, it's how you lose. And it's the mindset of the individual after a loss. It's very, very important. And this guy has shown to keep believing in yourself when no one else believes you. And let me just say also, the little falling asleep move what he done to Pereira's son, I see some people mocking that, but I'm like, good. Good. I might get in trouble for saying it, but I don't business. Because someone should have taught that little child some manners. Because if the parents are not going to teach the children some respect, then guess what? This is how we move in Nigeria and a lot of families, not just not in Nigeria, but household. You know, listen, the saying is it takes a village to raise a child. Is that not right, Spence?
1,000,000%.
It takes a village. So, bruv, we have to do the
old African proverb.
The same move what the boy done to us. We're doing it to him. And I love that. That was the best part of the whole thing for me. That was the best part of the whole thing. He said he pointed, he looked for the guy to show you. Spence, what are you doing?
Huh?
Don't be coming on burping up the place and yawning and all them thing there and closing your eyes when you're on this side again. You're starting again. But yeah, that's how we teach. This is how we teach the youth. Don't be disrespectful to the adults. Because guess what? Auntie, uncle, sister, brother will show you how to... The child, yeah, he said the child's going to have nightmares. Well, bro, the parents should have taught him don't behave like that in the first place. So listen, if the parents are going to take the initiative, then we should. Let's get back to boxing, but congratulations to Israel Adesanya. Fantastic victory last night, reclaiming the middleweight UFC title, and it's business as usual. Right, let's move off of AJ, because I think that young man has got enough on his head without us keep on calling his name. He said this December, and so December it is. I would have liked to speak to Dylan, though, because it's funny, because I think a day or two before, Eddie Hearn actually publicized that the front runner for AJ's next contest.
Yes, he did say that, Sunday.
And so it's really a miscommunication here, because, I mean, why say that then, you know, 24 hours later, you know, AJ's giving us that tweet. But I don't know, listen, they know what they're doing more than us. Let's talk about Shakur Stevenson's. If you haven't already spoken about
No, I haven't touched on it. I haven't touched on it. I thought that was a very, very good display of boxing skill last night from Shakur. And not only that, I think he's really suited all the time. You know, he's been featherweight world champion and super featherweight world champion. I think he was suited to be a lightweight. He just looked properly set there. Didn't look drawn. He looked comfortable in there. And the guy's got, he's got a plethora of shots in his arsenal. He's a very good fighter, Tunde. Very, very good fighter.
Well, I think the highlight of the fight, because I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know Shu Richiro Yoshino. I didn't know him before the fight. I never heard of him. I'm just being honest. I'm not being disrespectful. I've never heard of him. And to me, he looked very basic. He had his head down low, swinging at Shakur. And Shakur was just looking him in his eyes and just countering him all day long. The referee could have been a bit more lenient and let the fight continue.
It could have. But it was a hide into nothing. And I believe, like, for the paying customers that were there,
yes.
I think he should allow this America as well. The America likes to make things go on a little bit, couple more shots in. I think it was a premature stoppage, but a stoppage that was going to come anyway, but it was still premature. Very, very good performance from Shakur. I was impressed with him. Very impressed with him.
I mean, listen, after the fight, there was a little nudge, a little dig to the undisputed, the real undisputed lightweight champion, Mr. Devin Haney. I spoke with his father this afternoon. And I'm going to ask you the question, Spencer, and put it out to the crowd. How do we see a fight between Shakur Stevenson and Devin Haney playing out? What can Shakur do to Devin Haney? Tell me, what can Shakur do to Devin Haney?
His timing is, he has an impetuous kind of timing, how he puts his shots in, where it's, you can see that he's a person that's practiced these shots for a very long time, and he's also got cat-like reflexes. But I'm telling you, how he puts them, and he's like, he seems like, to me, somebody sat down and had a word with him, like, listen, you got to start stopping these brothers. There ain't got time for you to be going these 12 rounds. Now, I don't know if Jay Prince was the one that said something. I should have phoned Jay Prince, you know. But I've seen an improvement, and he's troublesome. But for some strange reason, it's like people are not giving Devin Haney the respect that he should have on his name.
Exactly.
Right? They're not giving him respect.
Exactly.
And I think it's also, Tun, I believe that it's also because he's been groomed to be where he's at.
Who?
Devin. He's been groomed to be where he's at with his father and everything else. I think it could be coming from a place of envy from other opponents in the lightweight division. I'm just going to be real, because that's everything that those two have set out to go and do, they've actually done it.
Very good point.
Right? They've done it. And then, and to handily beat Kambosos in the way that he did twice
in Australia
without, and you watched the fights, Tundi, the young man didn't even change gear.
Nope.
He didn't change gear. And so
we still ain't seen the best of Devin.
Right. So that means that Devin Haney, young Devin Haney, has got way more in his arsenal to be released. And I think the truth is we're going to see how he handles Lomachenko, right? And he puts in a big performance against Lomachenko, which I believe that he's going to go and do. I'm just going to be real with you, right? I think the young man's belief, the young man's capacity in learning, and because he's been around great fighters who have shown him stuff, I can only see Devin with a comprehensive win against Lomachenko. I'm just going to be real. So then to spin it to say, how would he do against
Shakur.
Stevenson. Stevenson, no joke. I'm just going to be real with you. Stevenson is no joke. And anyone trying to think like, no, Stevenson's real. He's real. From what I've seen, he's a 2-weight world champion as well. That young man's very real.
But I'm not gonna pick on you. But nobody has yet told me how Shakur is gonna beat Devin. I want to know. I just want to know how he's gonna beat him. Because the only way
he's not faster. He's not faster than Haney, right? He's not faster than Haney. So he's going to have to use a lot of timing and spinning off. But the thing about it is this: Devin's got a decent chin. We saw him. He got shook up against Jorge Linares. Jorge Linares is a 4-weight world champion that knows what he's doing, right? And he got stunned in that, but he came back very, very strong after that. And it could be like, because he was comprehensively winning, maybe he kind of momentarily took his mental capabilities off of the gas. You know what I mean? But when it comes to like putting combinations together, it's about closing gaps. And Devin has a very good right hand. But he's also got a very good left hook. And I also believe like the key shots for southpaws is actually the left hook and not the right hand, because they're trained to know that right hands are coming at him. I think it's the left hook. Devin's got a very good, fast left hook. It's going to be a very intriguing fight, because Shakur Stevens is going to have to get into punching range. And when you're in punching range, you are susceptible to get hit yourself. And the worst thing, you're susceptible to get hit yourself, not by a one-out knockout artist, but a man that I will believe is faster than you. So it's going to be a very, very intriguing fight. I'm looking forward to it. I say peace and love to both of the brothers, because both of the brothers show a lot of love to the fighters, right? But yeah, we shall see.
Interesting. Anyone online? Aaron, I've just sent you the link and on your Instagram to this show. If you want to pop on, come on, Aaron, because I know this is a young man. He's a boxing geek, also a very good young boxer. But he knows boxing, Spence. And I love he's been on the live a few times on my live. And he really knows his stuff. And I'll be interested to hear how he sees the Haney versus Shakur fight going. And maybe he can give us a tactical breakdown. So, Aaron, I've sent you the link. If you want to come in, that'd be good. We also had the announcement of a fight I'm really looking forward to. You know what? We're going to go on to the biggest fight, I would say, this year so far, which is going to be Ryan Garcia versus Tank Davis. Or should I say Tank Davis versus Ryan Garcia?
Whatever way you say it, it's a great fight.
It's a great fight. We've got this young man. Hey, see this UAS, Spence? How you doing, Aaron?
Oh, you all right?
tell the fighters right, give the fighters right your credentials as a young boxer. Come on.
About Devin Haney.
No, we can't see you, mate. Put your face more on the screen.
There we go.
Yeah. There you go.
About me.
Yes. Tell us your breakdown.
2-time Scottish champion. Western District champion. GB silver medalist. King of the Ring, Sweden champion. And went to the Europeans.
Well done.
I tell you, boy, we got the young G's. I know you're an avid boxing fan, Aaron. Give us a breakdown. First of all, Shakur Stevenson versus Devin Haney. How you see that fight again?
It's a good fight. It's like a real chess match. It's a hard one to call, but I'm a big Devin Haney fan. So I just feel like he'll edge it. And he's bigger.
Yes.
He's bigger. He's a bigger man. And obviously, Shakur Stevenson's was 126 and then 135. He's just up to now, isn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
And then obviously that fight should be made at 140. So it'll be a different type of body for both of them, I feel. So
Well, listen, the fact we was going to talk about is the announcement of Josh Taylor versus Teofimo Lopez.
Yep.
I know Josh is a Scot like yourself.
Yep.
Spencer, give us the breakdown on that fight, because that's a serious fight, Spence.
You know what? We haven't seen Josh Taylor since the Catterall fight.
Yes.
And if I was going off of the guy that fought Catterall to the guy that Teofimo banged out the other day, then I've got Teofimo winning that fight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Even grabbed by Teofimo's last performance?
Yeah. Because I believe that this is down to weight. And one man's fighting back at 140, a next man's moving up to 140, one man's finding it difficult to do 140, a next man's going to be relishing the fact that he's actually fighting at 140. So that's what I believe. But I'm saying, like, the best Taylor would come out victorious against the best Lopez, I believe.
Yes. Aaron, what's your take on this battle?
I agree with Spencer. Definitely agree. If Josh Taylor fights Teofimo Lopez like he fought Jack Catterall, he'll be in for a long night. He'll be in for a long night, definitely.
This is it. This is boxing, ladies and gentlemen. This is boxing. And again, it's great to have the youngsters with us just to show you that we're versatile here on this show. Spence, moving down on the undercard last night, there's still a few fights to talk about. Before we go on to them, let's talk about the undercard. Keyshawn Davis had a win. I thought he was going to get rid of my boy a bit sooner, to be honest with you. But he's finally got rid of, I think it's Anthony. Is it Yigit? Yigit, I think
it's a body shot that finished him, right?
No, the body shot put him down, and then I think he stopped it. The ref stopped it with a salvo of hooks. But Keyshawn is looking decent. What do you think about him? I mean, and his progress so far.
I've always rated him. I've always rated him from when he first time I witnessed him live was when he boxed out on the undercard of Hearing versus Frampton. And I saw him then. I spent a lot of time with him and his mum out in Dubai. Nice kid. He's come across a lot of adversity in his life. But as a fighter, Tony, the kid can fight. And he's about getting that work. He looks for the knockout. That's what I like about him. He's not looking just to jab and move. And he can do all of that, but he's looking to ice you. I like the kid. I like the kid a lot.
And I'm not gonna keep you here for long, Aaron, but I just wanted to bring you on. I just wanted to bring you on
so that people
know who you are. But tell us, what do you think of this Keyshawn Davis, and how far do you think he can go in the sport of boxing?
Yeah, I rate him quite a lot. He won the silver medal, didn't he, in the Olympics?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good fighter. I've been watching quite a lot of him as well. I think he was on track for a world title.
100%. And yeah. What next for you in your career?
I'm going down to England next Thursday to fight in Darlington against a national champion. So I've got a good fight. Good fight there. And then the British in June.
Well, listen, I'm wishing you all the best in your career, young man.
Thank you.
And, you know, just keep tuned, locked into Uncle T.
Yep,
you know,
definitely.
I've got you. So just keep winning. And that's the key. Keep winning, keep being consistent, and keep doing what you're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all thank Aaron Sawat for being on this show. Scottish champion, GB representative, and a man that loves boxing.
Well done. Take care, Aaron, man.
Keep doing what you're doing now.
Thanks for having me on the show. Thank you. Sir.
And that's it. Bring up the youths then. Bring up the youths then. Bring them in.
One million percent we do. You're going to have to continue because I've got to be excused for like 30 seconds. I've got to make sure that my little girls are in their bed. All right.
Okay.
Right, mate.
Okay. Well, listen, me and the crowd are here. Again, let's keep this thing rolling. Last night we saw an upset. It was an upset to everybody. But Brian Mendoza scored a stunning, stunning knockout of Sebastian Fundora in the seventh round of their clash last night. Many people were tipping Fundora, bruv, to be something special. But it just shows you again, this boxing game, you cannot take your eye off the ball for a second. So congratulations to Brian Mendoza. In fact, I think that's the second now upset that he's caused, because I'm sure he beat Rosario as well. Yeah, I think he stopped Rosario as well. But that was some knockout last night of Fundora. Obviously, it was all being built up for him to go on and possibly fight Errol Spence or one of the Charlo brothers. And it just shows you everything can change in 30 seconds in boxing. But, we got to talk about Gerard Anderson. Last night, successful in the third round against George Arias. Again, someone that we have been told to keep an eye on. But I'm just going to be real. I hear the talk. Disagree with me or agree with me if you want. Disagree or agree with me if you want. But I feel any one of our top heavyweights would give Gerard Anderson a good fight. And that includes Fabio Worley. That includes David Adelaide. That includes Fraser Clark. Whatever heavyweights is there we got from the UK. Those three guys. Fraser Clark. Yeah, man, listen, man. We will give him a good fight. We will give, but that's Dirt Gang Boss says, what do you think about Gerard against F.A. Ajagba? That is a fight. That will show us. Yeah, Fabio Woodley. I said Fabio. Any one of our big men will give him a fight, in my opinion. So I think they just need to calm down a little bit on the hype train because, you know, in America, you can find a lot of bums. Sorry for the expression. But you can find a lot of brothers. they're just big. They're not even heavyweights. They're just fat. I'm just being honest with you. But we got Daniel Dubois. Imagine Daniel Dubois in with Gerard Anderson at this point. No, nobody can convince me that easily. I need to see some more evidence that this kid is what the Americans are making him out to be. I'm not convinced thus far with these performances that he is the heir apparent of the heavyweight division. There is no heir apparent until you come see Joe Joyce. And Joe Joyce is going into war. Jollof Joe Joyce is going into war next week, Saturday, live at the Copper Box Arena on Frank Warren Queensbury Promotions show. Young Joel Kadua has his second fight on the card. Denzel Washington Bentley is also on the card, defending his British title. And I'm looking forward to that fight. When Denzel fights, it's always exciting because, you know, he's one of the man them. And made a valiant or had a valiant effort in his world title bid out there in Las Vegas. So he's got a lot of experience behind him now, and it's only onwards and upwards. I mean, there's so much boxing we can still talk about, which we haven't spoken about. Jesse Bam Rodriguez, again, victorious, becoming a two-weight world champion, picking up the, this is off memory, the WBO flyweight title last night. But unfortunately, he suffered an injury to his jaw. His jaw was broken in the sixth round, and he went on to win the fight, which obviously cast doubts now on the Sonny Edwards contest, which is a bit upsetting. I think Sonny, I don't really call Sonny's name on this show too tough, but, you know, listen, he's a world champion, so you got to give credit where it's due. But Sonny, I feel, signed because he was guaranteed that fight next. And so we may be moving into the end of the year, possibly next year now, until that fight happens. So that's a bit upsetting for Sonny and for the promoter. But it's going to be a good fight. I'd be interested to hear people's views, how they feel Sonny gets on in that fight. Let me think. So, yeah, Boxing Eyeball says Sonny Obam, who wins? I don't really know. I don't really follow them, man. Them no eating weight. That's what I call it. No eating weight. How can a man wear, six stone and seven stone? Bro, I'm not on their weights there. I'm on the okra weight, the big pounded yam weight. Anything under welterweight, I'm not really paying too much attention. Well, maybe the lightweights, I'm gonna lie, lightweights upwards, but them flyweights and them wasp weight and all them and all them B weight, I don't really follow them kind of that kind of boxing, but you still have some good fighters. So yeah, what they say, Sonny is that chick from from the block that has a great personality. Where's it gone? Where is gone? But as a mad BO, so no one goes near her, bro. Oh, time. Yeah, listen, again, so much boxing. What we've spoken about Israel, we've spoken about Lopez, we've spoken about Anderson, we've spoken about Shakur, we've spoken about Mendoza scoring a stunning KO, we've spoken about Jesse Bam. Otat Dottigyal, hope everyone is enjoying their Easter bun and cheese season. Done though. So Otat, thank you, Dottigyal, for your contributions. Lawrence Okoli versus Chris Billam Smith was announced in the week. A lot of good fights are taking place and coming up. And that is a good fight. That is a good fight. One where I do feel Lawrence is going to show Chris Billam Smith levels. But you never know. Lawrence's ex-trainer will be in the opposite corner. And I didn't really like the comments Shane said about Lawrence in the week in terms of him being weak mentally and all them kind of things. Hold on, bro. If he was weak mentally, then why wasn't you calling him weak mentally when you were trading him? Bro, this is what I'm trying to say about these guys. You can't be saying things like that. You can't be saying, listen, your man's going to win. You know some things about Lawrence that a lot of people don't know. But you don't need to be talking about man's weak mentality and everything. But guess what? He may have a weak mentality, but Lawrence Okoli is the WBO champion, and nobody has come close to beating him. So I just find it so disrespectful that you felt you need to come and say that on TV. That's madness, because you were just training him the other day. You were just training him the other day. Now you're dissing a man about his mental health and that. And you know, mental health is not something you really joke about. So when you're calling a man mentally weak, I'm like, bro, if he's mentally weak and he's a world champion, then bro, you need to, then a few of us need to be mentally weak. Because bro, it's not easy to become a world champion. It's not easy to become a world champion in any weight class. So that's the only thing I wasn't happy about. But you know, listen, I get the fighting spirit from Shane and what have you, and he's backing his man. But yeah, come on, mate. That one was a bit below the belt. But suffice to say, it will be a great fight between Lawrence Okoli and Chris Billings-Smith, who is a very, very nice young man. I met him at the Boxing Writers Do. Very, very respectful young kid. Young man. And I wish him all the best. So, yeah, that's a great fight that's coming up again. I don't know where Spencer is. That is a long 30 seconds. There was the Amir Khan. Yeah, justice for Ellie Scotney. What is going on again? More madness involving the McGuigan camp. Well, I don't know what's going on around there. I don't know what's going on, but all I know is I've known Ellie Scotney since she used to come in the gym with Uncle Jim when she was a little girl. And I've known Ellie for so long that, you know, to see her blossom into this good fighter, great fighter, I don't like to call people great too soon, but good fighter, and really having the biggest night of her life snatched away from her at the last minute is really, really unfair, I think. But listen, we're saying it's unfair, but we don't really know the ins and outs of the whole story. There has been NDAs in this whole matter, so people can't talk the rules, as they call it. Chantel Cameron came out with a statement this week, really putting her side of the story, because obviously Ellie gave her side of the story. But listen, the way I see it, and the way, as I said to Uncle Jim, is that, look, it just wasn't meant to be. That wasn't meant to be her crown and glory night. And you know what? Move it a couple of weeks and she gets her own big
fight. Sorry, Todd, I've been listening to you while you were, while you've been talking, and I saw you touch on what's the name? Shane McGuigan,
yes.
Saying that Lawrence Okolie is mentally weak.
Yes.
That's a disrespect.
Well, brother, we said this.
No, right? Right? But that's a disrespect. Man's going to be brave enough to turn around and say, this dude is mentally weak. As I'm alluding back to what you said, why weren't you saying he's mentally weak when you were training him? Because he left you to go to Sugar Hill. Right? And that was a snipe at him because they're trying to, listen, to talk out the business, let's keep this thing 100. I ain't got nothing against Shane McGuigan or all the McGuigan family. I haven't.
Heads. Man saying there's a crumb on your mouth.
There ain't.
Lick up your lips.
There ain't no crumb.
We've been eating crumble.
Now I got these chocolate cookies, man.
Guy loves food on the next level.
Right. But I'm telling you this now, Ton. The liberty of you saying that, where we know Lawrence Okolie left you, so maybe you're bitter about that, innit? You're bitter that Lawrence left you to go to Sugar Hill. Yeah, I mean, so maybe that's kind of like the burning factor inside of your thing, when you think, oh, well. But also, the news is Richard Rappaport has now left Boxer.
Oh, wow.
He's left Boxer, Ton.
Wow.
He's left Boxer. And I thought it was a little bit strange because the week of the Joshua fight, that when they had the presser, they had a little birthday thing going on as well. And not birthday thing, a party thing they had for Joshua, right? It was really cool down at one of the hotels in Battersea. It was really nice. So I've gone down there and sorry, no, who's that? Sugar Ray. No, not Maryland Cookies. I'm sorry to upset you. Marks and Spencer's do these £2 four cookies. They're incredible. Trust me, spin them in the microwave and then you're gone clear, bro. Skin them 5 seconds in the microwave. That's melt up
the
chocolate.
Why can't we just eat them? Why do we always have to put a spin in it?
Well, I'm just letting you know. You know what I mean? It's Tundi that got me to Marks and Spencer's, you know, because Tundi's the living Marks and Spencer's buyer. Marks and Spencer's willing to give Tundi shares the amount of time he's getting there.
Now, Rachel's, mate.
I know you're upmarket. But you know what? Let me tell you the next thing. Marks and Spencer's a teeth tun. Go and buy a can of Coke in Marks and Spencer's, you'll find out. It's about £6 around.
But everything's gone up.
But no, on the real.
We earn more money.
Richard Rappaport has left Boxer.
You sure about this, Spence?
1,000,000%. He even posted it saying, look, I'm a free agent. He's left them.
Wow.
So he most probably felt aggrieved that Billingsmith, a man that he has beaten already, has got the Lawrence Okolie shot before him, after him and Lawrence Okolie had the little spat at the Creed premiere. I think you're like, right, maybe, and this is a real beef. what's going on? What are going on? And they said, nope. You're not getting a shot. You're gonna have to wait. So he's obviously felt aggrieved by it. You know what I mean? He's felt aggrieved and he's now left. So it's like, and when I saw him at the matchroom party thing for the Joshua and Franklin fight, he just went in and he left early. And when I saw that, I was saying to myself, like, right, why are you here though? Because you're a boxer guy. Why are you here?
But okay.
Yeah, right. So it is. But he's now posted a few days ago, I'm a free agent. So Rappaport, most probably Eddie Hearn saying, well, let's do a trade-off. You can have Lawrence Okolie, but I'm gonna have Richard Rappaport.
Interesting. I'd like to get Richard on the thing. You know, Richard's one of the mans, so he'll definitely come on and he'll speak anything that he can speak. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting. That's kind of thrown me as well. Because I'm just thinking back to the conversation we had on fight night, me and Richard, about this whole Okolie versus Billum Smith situation. He said a few things to me on that night. So I'm just weighing up what you just said, what you've just announced to me. So mm-hmm. Makes sense. Where was we, Spence? What else can we talk about? I think we've got 10 minutes left. I think we've touched on most things though. The Amir Khan being found guilty for a banned substance and subsequently being banned from boxing for 2 years, even though he's retired. Bro, I robbed the bank, spent out all the money, then you're telling me I'm guilty. Fam, the money's done. I ain't got no money for you. You can do what you want. I've lived my life. You can find me guilty or what. But Amir Khan maintains, and I haven't listened to all the interviews, obviously, you just see the flashing headlights of him passing. But Spence, what's really going on in the sport of boxing?
You know what? You know the Tabernacle Church at Elephant Castleton? You must know, opposite the shopping center.
Cool.
Right. I used to go to the Tabernacle Church, and there's a man in there called Richard Clark, who's one of the teachers there. Beautiful human being. I haven't seen him in years. I don't even know if he's still alive. And in 1988, when what was it? The Ben Johnson thing come out when he cheated, yeah? When he's on, right? And they said,
too blessed, I can't say that, bro.
Right? And listen, this Hazel person, listen, Manny, you got to be on top of it. Get rid of this person, it's winding me up.
No, but what did they say though, Spence? I'll block them, don't worry, I can block them, it's no problem. Let me block them. Sorry, Hazel, I had to block you.
I can't take this little stupidness. I really can't.
Go on anyway, Spence. Go.
Right? And he said to me, no, we should have two Olympics. We should have Olympics for people on steroids and Olympics for people that aren't on steroids.
Oh, wow. He said right? that?
He said, yeah, that's what he said to me. He said, like, we should have two Olympics, right? Now, what I'm saying is this. With the Amir Khan thing, There needs to be more investigation or more public coming out to the public, because Amir Khan's fight was a year ago.
This is what is baffling me at the moment, because according to Ben Shalom and the British Boxing Board of Control, they only heard about this news via social media. But I'm like,
what kind of man is that?
That doesn't make sense, because, I mean, listen, maybe you can educate me and a lot of other people here online. So hold on. So you've been found, they found something in your system. We've got a governing body, the British Boxing Board of Control, and obviously UCAD, they're connected to UCAD. So why is it taking a year for all of this coming? Is that something to do with Amir Khan's solicitors withholding the knowledge or not allowing it? To come out? I don't know. I don't get it, Spence.
Because, you know, Ton, you've got a world-class fighter in Anthony Yard.
Yes.
They can turn up at your doorstep and test you.
They always do.
Right.
They always have.
Once you're being tested, that goes off.
Yes.
And it gets checked. Then the reports get sent back to the British Board of Control. So that is complete and utter negligence to say that we only heard about it through social media. So I'm on social media quite regularly now. I've got more power than the people who meant to have the power to be to say that someone can box and can't box. That's gross incompetence. Gross incompetence. But there was also a second report that came out and said, like, they do not believe that the substance which was found inside of Amir Khan was so minimal, they do not believe that Amir Khan was on that thing to cheat. But the rules are, because it was found in you, you have to get a 2-year suspension. But then what happened was this, Amir Khan come out and said, oh, I could have caught it from anywhere. I could have caught it from shaking someone's hand. Rather you say nothing than come out with some ludicrous claims like that. Amir Khan, my brethren, you know that he comes on the show quite regularly to him, but come on. Come on, Amir, man. That one, nah, bro.
So he's saying he don't know how it got in his system?
Nah, that's what he's saying.
Gaming Buddha DXP says, guys, you guys are talking about the boxers all the time. You equally need to hold the promoters accountable. Simon Jordan was talking about that.
Yep, I actually heard Simon Jordan's. It was him and Spencer Oliver. And he was saying that kind of same thing, like, it's incompetence. And you can't say that the board, when the Board of Control said, well, they didn't know about it. And maybe they didn't, for real. But then there's got to be some form of break in the line of communication. And it's disgusting because when you're dealing with somebody, you work with fighters. Does being on steroids make you technically better? No, it doesn't. But what it does do, it increases your endurance.
Yes.
Right? And because of something like that. Now, that's serious. That is very, very serious.
Listen, you know, this drug thing, I don't even like putting it in my system, bro, because I just think it's totally out of order that someone feels they needs to use drugs in a sport which is so, again, gotta be careful about my words, but so challenging, and you want to go and cheat again. And it's like, why is these things coming out now? It's like, it's baffling to me. It's baffling to me. And obviously, if you're a sports person that's been cheating, what are you gonna say? Yeah, I took it. you're never gonna admit to it. Having said that, how accurate are these tests? Because once these athletes give their urines and samples and what have you, they get wrapped up in front of you and sealed in front of you, but you don't know where they're going after that.
Come on. Yeah. Tun, like I'm saying, Amir Khan, I prefer that if he didn't say anything, but he's come out, he said what he said. I'm just saying, like, this drugs thing, do I believe that Amir Khan's a cheat? Nah. And even if he was a cheat, it never helped him because Kell Brook broke him up. Right? But a positive test is a positive test.
I listened to an interview from Dominic Ingle in the week and it was very, very good. He don't believe Amir Khan would have taken drugs. It really would have served him no benefit to be taking that drugs at that time, where it definitely didn't serve him no benefit.
Well, what I noticed about this is that Dominic knows a lot about drugs. that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying no more than that.
Okay. That's not my business. Dr. Gyal says steroids increases endurance and the ability to recover from training and injury. That is very, very true. That's very true. So again, on a whole, it's just blatant cheating. It's blatant cheating, and there's no need, no place for it in the sport of boxing. Tundi alluding to some conspiracy thing, but you know what is, Lucan, I'm not even saying it's not a conspiracy. I'm just saying that wherever money is, there's bound to be some form of corruption. It's just a fact. It's money, innit? People would do anything for money and what have you. So I don't know. I don't know. It's one of them subjects where, you know, I got to be careful what I say, because I'm not pointing no fingers at anybody, because I wouldn't like to be in a position where I know I haven't taken no drugs, and some way, somehow, you know, these athletes are exposed to a lot of people and a lot of things. That's why I always say, if they don't sell it in Waitrose, Marks and Spencer's, it's not going to my body, bro. Don't tell me about this juice, this thing can make me... Nah, brother. Because they never had that. Sorry, I'm talking out of turn again. Because Sugar Ray Leonard and these kind of man, and Ray Robinson and these man, were drinking these drinks. But that's not to put a foot on new findings and new technology. So we'll see. Spence, before we call it a day, anything else?
No. I don't think there is anything more to say, but I'm looking forward to...
But you know what? Yeah, Tank Garcia. Come on.
Yeah. I'll tell you why I'm looking forward to that fight, Yeton. Because both fighters needed each other. Mm. You know what I mean? Tank needed, even though he's a good seller and all the rest of it, mainly because he's in the right camp, Floyd Mayweather and all the rest of it, right? And Garcia definitely needed Tank, right? And the mere fact that both men at this stage of their career are taking this fight, more so Garcia taking this fight, he should be greatly commended.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Great, he should be greatly commended for taking this fight.
And it's, these are the kind of fights we need. And you know, this fight reminds me of Oscar De La Hoya taking on a Felix Trinidad.
Mm.
Oscar De La Hoya taking on a Sugar Shane Mosley in the prime of his career. And I think that this is what boxing needs. This is what the sport needs in order to get, you know, people back watching and interest. Genuine 50-50 fights, or at least 60-40, where the princess is awake.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's that?
Baba Tunde.
Baba Tunde. Yeah, removing. You got. This is what I'm saying. You got to teach you use the full name, Baba Tunde.
Yeah.
We as always call that my name
in its fullness. So yeah, I'm saying like that's going to be a good fight. I've been watching the behind the scenes build up for this fight, and I'm actually looking forward to it because we haven't got long to go.
A week. I tell you where we will finish. We will finish with the massive heavyweight fight next week, at the Copper Box Arena. Juggernaut, Jollof, Joe, okay. Joyce, takes on a very, very dangerous opponent in one Mr. Zhang, who was an Olympian.
Mm-hmm.
A very good boxer, Spencer, a southpaw.
And he beat Hergovich.
In a lot of people's opinion. And this is going to be a good yardstick, sorry for the pun, on how we're going to look at the whole heavyweight division landscape after Saturday night. Because I believe if Joe Joyce does what I'm expecting of him, goes out there and does a real number on this giant from China, I feel he definitely is in the top two or three heavyweight champions or heavyweight fighters in the world.
You know what? I agree with you on that one, Ton. But I remember seeing a fight where Zhang got wobbled up by some little Billy man.
So what are you trying to say? That what's the brother's name? Brian Jennings is a Billy man.
Brian Jennings wobbled him up.
He's a vegan, you know. Brian Jennings is a vegan.
Right, exactly. and I know Jollof Joe really is that Jollof with a tough piece of meat as well. So
let me just say, he didn't wobble up Joe. He just hit Joe with a body shot.
No. You missed the point. I'm not talking about Jollof Joe. I'm talking about Zhang. Zhang got wobbled up by some Billy. Yeah, I see him get some Billy man clapping with the right and he wobble up. Right? So, no, and I'll never disrespect my man there. But yeah, so I've seen him get hurt. But what I am saying is, like, I saw the fight against Hergovic and I was very impressed with how he boxed. But then at the same time, I think Hergovic had a bereavement. I think his dad passed away or something. So I'm going to kind of like...
I'm not being funny, yeah? But you see that? I don't use that as an excuse in boxing because it can motivate people. And yes, it can have an effect. But, you know, we don't actually know what it does. How it motivates or demotivates fighters. So, interesting.
But Zhang is a very good fighter. And the promotion for getting Zhang to come over here to take that fight, congratulations. I mean, Queensbury's done a very, very good move with that one. Because that's a very good fight. And I want to see how Joe Joyce handled a bigger man there. Because usually Joe Joyce is bigger than all of his opponents.
Yes.
This time now, he's going to be punching upwards. He's going to have to deal with a southpaw style. And everyone's talking about Joe's thick skull that he has. It's 2.3% thicker than the average man and all this talk and all the rest of it. But yeah. But I'm telling you, if water kind of rolled rock, so you carry on, keep on getting thump in your head thinking it's all right. I could just take it. But what I am impressed with Joe Joyce is the fact that he's gone away. He's been out to America and he's been around the older head. Something that I always believed that Anthony Joshua should have done. You see him around Riddick Bowe. Riddick Bowe's in the gym with him. They're sitting there having conversation. Those things rub off on you. There was no better inside fighter in the 90s. Than Riddick Bowe. He was an incredible inside fighter for a big man. He had really good hands. So, you know, coming from the tutelage of Phil Torrence, coming from the tutelage of Eddie Futch. So, I like what Joe Joyce is doing. I like the fact that he's going out there and he's listening to the older heads. He's making the older heads kind of rub off on him. And not only that, but he's got a very good engine. He's very, very fit. And we're going to see what's going to happen. I'm really intrigued for this fight, my friend.
Well, I mean, I was looking at the... some heavyweight rankings. I don't know if they're official or whatever, but it's got Tyson Fury number one, Usyk number two, Wilder three, AJ four, Joyce in the fifth position. So even though Zhang is ranked way down the list, they've even got Gerard Anderson ranked higher than Zhang.
I don't understand that one, Tom.
Yeah, but I don't know where this list come from. Maybe this list.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's some Peckham market list.
Peckham. They got Jagba above Zhang, then Michael Hunter, then Wallin, someone who I thought would be a good opponent for Anthony Joshua on a comeback. I still feel sorry to go back to the AJ, but I feel AJ should he should be allowed another warm up against another you know, not so dangerous opponent. And then maybe move to the Dillon fight.
It should be. Bolts, thank you for the $4.99. Any chance of AJ Fury being agreed in December in Saudi? Prince Khalid was ringside last week and Hearn kept saying big fight for AJ in December.
Interesting,
Tunde.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and I saw, what's his name? That... Abdullah brother from school challenge. He was ringside as well, sat there. Maybe we could see that happening. But when we're saying AJ Fury to be agreed in Saudi, know this one thing about Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury ain't the easiest guy to negotiate with. Simply because he's pregnated in his head that he knows his worth. That's number one, right? Number two, if that fight was to go and take place in December, I believe that AJ would still need another tune-up. Unless they're trying to cash out on Anthony Joshua. And I'm just being real. I believe that AJ should have one more fight in so he could really adjust. And like you're saying, a little blowout, man. Just give him some little Billy man to just punch out. He's still Anthony Joshua. He'll still fill out the place. Go back at the old team.
I mean, I don't know. What is it? Is there some rule that says he can't have... when I look at, you know, listen, you still need to go and look at, and listen, I hope these guys are listening. But bro, go check Roberto Duran's career. Go check James Toney's career. In between their big fights, there was fighting
Billy Man. You know who's the master at that, Tunde? Julio Cesar Chavez.
The master.
The master of that.
Even Duran, all these guys, between, I know that the game has obviously changed, but I feel, you know, when you've done so much as Anthony Joshua has done, and what he's had to deal with mentally, he should be allowed a few Billy Man, as we call them.
Of course he should.
Couple of them man there, you know what I'm saying? Let him try his new, get to warm with his new trainer, build some different kind of confidence and go back here against the top dogs. You know, I think he should be allowed that opportunity. Yep. But listen, who am I? I'm not.
Yeah, really Phil answered. Yeah, I saw that as well. That Badou Jack has signed with Skill Challenge. But the thing about it is this: I always thought that Badou Jack was with Skill Challenge anyway because his manager, he's like the front person for Skill Challenge. So I thought he was already signed with him. But no, it was just announced 2 days ago that he's now signed with Skill Challenge. So that's an interesting move because fair play to Prince Khalid because Prince Khalid, as like we had Badou Jack on our show 2 weeks ago, and he was saying that he. They promised to get him a big fight. And even though... what's the U he knocked out? His name's just gone out of my head. My goodness gracious. The U who Badou Jack stopped to become the Cruiserweight champion.
Oh, my goodness.
Lulunga.
The Congo guy.
Right?
Yes.
He's saying, like, because he was with Don King, they had to pay money. But Badou Jack said, the prince said, don't worry, man, I got you. So... That's a nice thing. It's nice to have that kind of relationship. Makabu, thank you very much. His name just gone out of my head. Thank you very much for. So to see that now with Badou Jack being there, I already thought he was there anyway, but it's good that he's there. It is good that he's there.
Thank you, Bolts, for the $4.99. He said someone just tweeted Hearn about AJ's Insta post and he replied, all in good time. So it doesn't sound like injury. I agree, though, I'd like a warm-up. Well, I mean, listen, I see him giving interviews after the fight. It didn't look like he had a broken nose to me, so I don't know. I don't know where this broken nose talk has come from, but I did say I saw his, is his nose bleeding or something in the change room? Because he looked like he had blood on his top. So I don't know where this broken nose thing came from. But,
boxing with the pads.
Say that again, Spence.
Derek James boxing with his nose with the pads.
Spencer said Derek James boxed him in his nose with the pads in the change room. Spencer's a joker. Real question, Matt One says, at what age does a fighter lose what they had when younger? AJ might not be able to KO people how he did just because of age and not skill. That's a very good point. There's a good point. And I did allude to that on Fight Night, that, you know, as fighters age and with experience, you definitely won't get the old versions of themselves in the latter stage of their careers, because it just doesn't work like that. You know, you become, you know, you've experienced knockdowns, knockouts, tough fights, and you learn how to pace yourself more. Even Manny Pacquiao wasn't as aggressive later on in his career. So Floyd was a knockout merchant when he was younger. As he got older, moved up in weight, he boxed more. So you might, you know, there are ways. I think someone like Mike Tyson just went all out from beginning to the end. He's like, bro, I'm getting knocked out, I'm knocking someone else out. But good points there. Thank you for that, Matt One. Listen, Spence, you know us. We want to keep it disciplined.
Yeah. Keep it disciplined. We've gone past the hour mark.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, let us just thank you again.
Sorry, Rob. AJ back in December needs time to adjust and readjust.
Bruv, you know I said I was going to say that. I tweeted that I was going to say that today because that ain't going to leave me. adjust to readjust. Oh, tight, Capo boxing. Me and Capo have been having some little DM messages in the week. Capo see us in Frinsley Park on Saturday, so we might have to roll up there. Capo has to meet us up there after we deal with this fight for Joe next week on the undercard of Joe Joyce and Zhang. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, Stephen. We've had 300 people staying solid with us on the live for
thank
the whole
so
show.
Much.
So, listen.
Everybody, next week on the undercard of Joyce Zhang, there's a very, very good young and up-and-coming super welterweight kid called Joel Cordoba. He's something to look out for. That's what I'm saying. He's something to look out for.
I put pressure on my youth, man. You know, I have to hide them on the undercards.
But I didn't even mention you in it. You just put the pressure.
Yeah. But Joe, you know, listen. It's a long road, Spence. I just don't. I mean, I look at boxing in such a long road, and there's so many levels to this sport, and I feel that you got to be realistic with yourself. When you look at these, when you just deal with the British level first, and then you start moving, because world level boxing is a totally, totally different level of the sport. And so we need to establish right from the get-go if these young boxers have the consistency, the passion, the willingness, the sacrifice in order to make it to the top level of the sport, because that's the only thing which will allow you to get there. So Joe is on chapter 2 of his journey, meaning his second fight, and it's going to be good. So thank you for that, Spence. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a fantastic show, as usual, with my brother with his Benny Hill hat. Couple tea breaks from Spencer. Now the Dr. Pepper's come out. Your original vet. Only vet man drink Dr. Pepper.
You know what it is? It's not even me. It's Tyler. She loves it. But we don't want her to drink fizzy drinks. So yes. Every now and then she gets a little treat. But I just bought a pack. So they're in the fridge. I said, nah, man, I have to drink them, bro.
You see, you're making me want to go and drill for some fizzy drink downstairs now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Tundi, go buy some Fanta.
Fanta, Nigerian Fanta. Yeah. Great show. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And let us end exactly how we start, with the magical words of dreaming.
Adjust and readjust.
Adjust to readjust, homie. Adjust to readjust, man. Adjust to readjust. No, not really. Ladies and gentlemen, dream it, believe it, become it.
Coming up. Big up. Thank you so much for everyone who jumped on the show. I'm looking forward to next week, Ton.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. But we'll be doing a lot on the inside this week, because we'll be down at a couple of the press conferences that are going on. Getting our bits with Joel Joyce on the undercard. Who else is on the undercard, Tun?
Denzel Bentley.
Gotta get Denzel. Good guy.
I think young Dennis McCann is on the undercard as well.
Yeah, I like Dennis.
Young Dennis McCann. There's a few good kids. It's a Freezy McBones.
You know what? Freezy. Internet sensation.
Internet sensation. Freezy's on the bill. It's good, man. It's good. A good. Good, solid build.
Oh, Dennis is out with injuries, Ton.
Oh, okay.
Manny's just told us he's out with injury.
I think the young heavyweight, Itoma, is on the card as well. I think that will be his third fight or something. So there's a lot of good young talent on display next Saturday.
I hope they just give Itoma a better opponent, because the man that he fought on Yard Butterviev, Tundi, the breeze of the shot went by him and the man fling himself on the ground.
I think it was the same for his second fight as well. Sam Noakes is on the bill. Sonny Liston Ali, what a name, eh? And obviously the one and only Joel Kadua, who I'm looking forward to watching and being in the corner with him next Saturday.
Yeah, man. I haven't been to the Copper Box in ages. Last time I was at the Copper Box, Sunday, was actually for the Olympics, 2012. Oh, wow. Haven't been.
Yeah. We won our first title there, myself and Anthony. I think it was a Southern Area title. Then we won the European, the WBO European title in the Copper Box. We've had some good nights. The campers had some good nights at the Copper Box. God willing, you know, we've done our part. So next week, I'm looking forward to Joel recording his second professional victory. Yep, Michaela Meyer is on the bill as well.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting, yeah. So, you know, listen, all the Michaela fans, get yourself down there.
She's got a decent following, you know.
Yeah, yeah. She got the OnlyFans thing as well, innit?
She's doing OnlyFans then.
I see that, bro. But you got to sell yourself nowadays, I guess. Because I see her on the OnlyFans thing. I see that on the page, on the OnlyFans, you got the OnlyFans thing. But a lot of boxers are doing this now. I see brothers with the OnlyFans page as well. But what is that? But I don't even know what this thing is. What is it, Spence?
It's an adult channel.
Yes.
But what they're trying to do, they're trying to water it down now. So they're approaching sports people to jump on it. The first deal done with a professional or ex-professional fighter was actually the deal that I'd done for Tony Bellew. And that was nearly 2 years ago. Yep. And then because they're saying that's what they're trying to branch into. And the owner of OnlyFans is a big Tony Bellew fan.
Okay.
So he said they're trying to get hold of him. And one of my football agents' guys, Rob, gave me a call and said, Spence, can you get Tony Bellew? So I just got them, I linked them up. And yeah, and he got, that was the first deal that went through. And then from then, they just been going, Derek Cesaro's on OnlyFans as well.
So what, Spence, you got your OnlyFans money?
Nah.
Bro, money. Spence has got his OnlyFans account.
Nah. nah. There was none of that, mate. But the thing about those guys, all they're doing.
Don't try to change up the subject. I'm going to type in Spencer Pirro.
They're not showing anything provocative. They're showing content like they'll most probably put on their Instagram and stuff like that. But yeah. Of course they get paid. They get paid.
You got your account then, yeah?
Now I'm going to get one now. Now you said it, right? I'm going to get one. That's good.
Bro, type in Spencer Pirro and see what I go on. Smitty Rankin shows his toes on OnlyFans. James Cook's got a cat as well. You know, bro, if James Cook's had an account, you get bare money. That's Trade Secrets. Only we know what we're talking about there. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we keep going on. But adjust to readjust. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the last time, dream it, believe it, become it.
Big up, big up, big up. Come on up. You know the thing set.
Good night. God bless everyone.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.